الله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا ادخلوا في السلم كافة ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين. وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: إذا فعلت أمتي 15 خصلة حل بها البلاء، قيل: وما هي يا رسول الله؟ قال: إذا كان المغنم دولا والأمانة مغنما والزكاة مغرما وأطاع الرجل زوجته وأقى أمه وبر صديقه وجفى أباه وارتفعت الأصوات في المساجد وكان زعيم القوم أرزلهم وأكرم الرجل مخافة شره وشربت الخمور ولبس الحرير واتخذت القينات والمعازف ولعن آخر هذه الأمة أولها فليرتقبوا عند ذلك ريحا أو خسفا أو مسخا أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. علماء الكرام، respected brothers and sisters in Islam, this hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, I recall having discussed in this masjid some years ago, but it is a hadith for the time. For our time, this hadith should be in front of us. We should be guided by this hadith. We should x-ray ourselves in the light of this hadith before we complain of the azab, of the bala, of the musibat, of the difficulties, of the problems, the hardships that we ourselves and the ummah at large is facing. That everything we attribute to other causes, but we don't see in the Quran Sharif and in the Hadith Sharif that what are the causes of these problems that the Ummah is facing. Whatever problem in the world the Ummah faces, it is due to actions which we all know very well. And that we all say to repeatedly, that it is due to our actions that these things are happening. I say that, you say that, the Ummah says that. We all say that it is due to our actions. You will hear this from many, many people, even if the person has got weak iman too, but sometimes you will hear him saying that it is due to our actions. Now that much we all say. But after that what? If it is due to our actions, then should not we improve on those actions? Should not we return to the Quran and the Sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam? Should not we give up those evils in our lives which are bringing these problems on ourselves, our families, and the Ummah? Throughout the world, everybody knows what is happening. There is no more any peace, no more any happiness, no more any security, nothing. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, this hadith has been reported by Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. He says that Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam is reported to have said that when my ummah, I'm giving you the meaning of this hadith, that when my ummah will indulge in 15 things, then bala will come upon them. These 15 deeds and actions will invite bala for them. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will send down difficulties, Allah ta'ala will send down upon them His azab, Allah ta'ala will send down upon them His wrath and anger, and they will suffer all kinds of hardships and problems wherever they may be. Of course, there are many, many things mentioned in other hadiths of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. We must not just confine it to these things which have been mentioned in this hadith. Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam, in accordance with the occasion, in accordance with the requirement and need, he used to mention certain things. A person had great amount of anger in himself, and if he came to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and said, what is the best of deeds, then probably he would tell him that he must not get angry. Like that, whatever weakness the person had, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam looked at that and he gave them advice and guidance. So in some hadiths you find mention of certain things, certain in other hadiths you find mention of other things. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, throughout his life he was exhorting the ummah, he was advising the ummah, he was guiding the ummah, he was informing the ummah, he was educating the ummah, he was teaching the ummah, he was rehearsing the verses of the Quran to the ummah, he was explaining the verses of the Quran Sharif to the ummah. So it is just like how we, when we are talking to our children, then one day we say a few things, the other day we say something else, the next day we say something else. We don't give everything one time. It's not possible to give the whole of deen one time in a plate and say, there's it. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was shafiq. He was very, very kind to the ummah. So he did not load them with so much that they could not digest. He gave them a little, little at a time. So in some hadiths we find mention of certain things, in other hadiths we find mention of other things. But this hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, practically everything that he has mentioned in it, it is so apparent and so clear as the daylight sun. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that when my ummah will indulge in these 15 things, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will send upon them all kinds of bala, musibat, hardships, problems. The first thing he mentions there is, when the sahabas asked him, Ma hiya ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, that what are those 15 things? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, Iza kana al-maghnamu dawlan. Iza kana al-maghnamu dawlan. In the wars of, or the jihad that used to take place, and in our time also, and until the day of Qiyamah, there are certain rules, certain regulations when it comes to the war booty. That when the war booty comes in, then there are regulations that how much must go to the Amir, how much must go to the Mujahideen, how much must go to the others, Baitul Mal and all the rest of it. So there are details, we are not going to go into that. But the point is that when Mal-e Ghanimat will be regarded as personal wealth, that the person who was in jihad, if he receives some Mal-e Ghanimat, then he is not going to be concerned now. The first must hand it over to the Amir, hand it over to the commander of the Muslim army, and after that it will be distributed according to the laws of Sharia. Whatever a person will get, whatever he will pick up in the battle, he will say, well, this is mine. Next thing Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, I'm not going to go into very much details. Next thing Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentions is, well, amanat o maghnaman. And when amanat or trust properties will be regarded as war booty, that it will be as if the person was in jihad and he got some war booty and now it is his. It has been distributed and it is his. So trust properties will be considered to be mal-e ghanimat. That means people are not going to give it the importance that and the honor that it deserves. That this trust which is in their hands, that it must be used correctly, irrespective of what trust they have been made trustees of. So this is another thing that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned, that when this time comes, that people begin to regard trust properties as mal-e ghanimat. And this is so common, I've mentioned it in so many bayans of mine, because we deal with cases every day of our lives. And every day we come across such type of cases where sometimes people, children who were yatim and orphans, and now when they came of age, they realized that the trust property which was in the hands of the trustees, or their wealth and property which was in the hands of the trustees, but the trustees abused the power that was given to them, and there was nothing left for them when they came of age. Or they are in charge of certain properties and they are the ones who are the tenants of those properties. So because they are the tenants, so they will charge themselves a ridiculous rental, something that is far, far below the market value, because they know that they are controlling, they are in power, and those children are small. What do they know about all properties? And even if they are grown up, and even if they are intelligent and mature, but they don't have the finance, they do not have the muscle and the power to take those trustees to court or to sue them or to bring them to a book, because they will read out to you some laws or some terms of from the trust deed, and after that they will abuse the trust. Now this is the most commonest thing, it is very, very common. But besides that, even if we come right down to the layman's level, there too there are so many things which are in our hands as trust. If somebody has lent us something, it is trust in our hands. Then because it is somebody else's, then we are not going to show any concern. If a person has lent us his car, then it is somebody else's, so we are not going to be concerned how we use it. If a person has lent a machine or anything else, then we are not going to treat it as trust property. The same goes with masjid, light, water, fans, and all these other things. that it is permissible, use it to the extent that it is required, but do not abuse it, because it is trust property. I always give a talk to the pupils when they start, when they come to the madrasa on the first day of every term, that you are in a madrasa, and everything in this madrasa is trust property. The carpets are trust, the desks are trust, the books are trust, the walls are a trust, even the toilets are a trust property. So if you are going to abuse anything, then Allah Ta'ala will question you on the day of Qiyamah, and what will be the consequences, I outline it. Alhamdulillah, it has some effect, and in comparison with other madrasas and schools, we have very little scribbling on the walls and very little damage to the property. But what I am getting across is this, that trust property, it is going to be regarded as war booty. Nobody is going to really show any concern. If it belongs to somebody else or belongs to a trust, waqaf, then after that it is war booty, it's maghr. Of course, we're not going into the details of amanat now, we go on. Was zakatu maghraman. When a person has to pay 2 rand 50 or 5 rand or 100 rands or 500 rand zakat, then he is very quick to pay that zakat. Very quickly he pays that zakat, because he's got to take out 10 rand, 20 rand zakat. But we are talking about those people who have to pay quite a sum of money, a large sum of money as zakat. So when that zakat is being paid, they find it very difficult and very hard. It is regarded as some sort of fine upon them, as if Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has fined them, like how we get traffic fines. The person will consider the payment of zakat as a fine. He is not going to consider it as an ibadat. Like namaz we made, so we consider it as an ibadat. Fasting in Ramadan, we consider it as an ibadat. Hajj, we consider as an ibadat. The zakat payment is not going to be considered as ibadat. It is going to be considered as a fine, as a burden upon the person, as an imposition upon him, as a taxation upon him. He is not going to regard it as an ibadat, upon which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives him tremendous rewards. The Hadith Sharif says very, very clearly that whatever loss a person suffers, whether on land or sea, the major cause of that, as an explanation, the major cause of that is the non-payment of zakat. Why I say the major cause is that there can be other causes too. Allah Ta'ala wants to test the person. He wants to take away a little and test him for sabr and patience, and he wants to reward him with something better in return, or he wants to give him the stages of sabr. But those people are very few. I am talking about the majority of people like us, that the non-payment of zakat is the major cause of loss of wealth on land or sea. Every person is worried, we are losing a lot of wealth, there's a lot of pilferage, there's a lot of losses, the companies are going down, everything is happening, because our zakat is just calculated haphazardly. Estimation. Many people, they say, over the years, until we didn't learn the maslahs of zakat, our whole calculation was just estimation. That some people came with a book, we are collecting for a certain masjid or madrasa, so they wrote their 500 rand, 200 rand zakat, finish. And at the end of the day, they said, we gave quite a bit of zakat. But they didn't take stocks, they did not work out what zakat has to be paid, because most of the books nowadays are cooked up for the receiver of revenue. Now if we are going to pay zakat on those kinds of cooked up books, then it's not going to be genuine zakat payment. It's not going to be exact. It's not going to be correct. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says the loss that people incur, whether it's on land or sea, that means the person was getting import, he was importing goods, and there was a loss on the sea. Or in his business there was a loss. Building got burned down. Or thieves broke into the shop and they stole a lot of goods. Or a person was held up and he lost a lot of money. So now we mustn't just immediately run to conclusion. The moment somebody informs us that there was a hold up and he lost some money, he said, genuine, you didn't pay zakat. Then we will become like that parrot. That parrot, it was very sweet talking parrot. So the customers used to come quite a bit into the business because of that parrot. When the master was out, when the owner was out, the parrot happened to drop a bottle of oil. So when he came in, he beat the parrot up. Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah Ali says, he beat the parrot up until it went bald. Now it stopped talking, so the customers stopped coming. Now no matter how much they're trying to make the parrot talk, but the parrot is not talking, because that was the thing that used to attract the customers inside. Until one day one bald person came in. So the parrot spoke. He said, looks like you also dropped a bottle of oil, that's why you went bald. You must have also dropped a bottle of oil and they must have given you a good hiding on your head, that's why you went bald. So we will become like the parrots, that the moment a person suffers some loss, straight away we say, why, you must have not paid your zakat. So we must have a good opinion of the person, that it is probably a test from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Allah wants to give him rewards for sabr, or Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala wants to bless him with something better. But that person himself, the first thing he should check is his zakat. The first item that he must check is his zakat. Have I paid my zakat properly or not? If he hasn't paid his zakat, then he must attribute it to the non-payment of zakat, that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala caused a loss, because it draws away the good wealth too. It draws away the good property too. That also goes away. So on the one hand we think we are saving, but on the other hand it is going to take away the good wealth too. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that the people will consider this payment of zakat as if it is a burden, is a tax, it is some kind of a fine that has been imposed upon them. They won't consider it as an ibadat, on which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala rewards the person and Allah ta'ala protects the remainder of his wealth and Allah ta'ala multiplies it and returns it to him, and so many other virtues have been mentioned. Read the Fazail as zakat. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that when that happens, now that's the third thing that he mentions, that when these things are going to happen, then Allah ta'ala will send down balas on that community, musibah, difficulty, pareshani, all kinds of problems, and they will not know what is hitting them. They come out from one problem, something else hits them. It will just carry on and on. Halla bihal bala. Then Rasul Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, wa ata'ar rajulu zawjatahu wa aqqa ummahu, that the person will become obedient to his wife and he will disobey his mother. Now this is another very common thing. So many people, they have broken up their relationship with their mothers and with their fathers solely because of their wives, that the wives have made certain demands upon them and the wives have distanced them from their parents. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, when this happens, you must wait for bala. Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam in the ahadith and the Quran Sharif in many ayat gives us so much about our parents, and especially the mothers. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says they will disobey the mothers and they will become obedient to their wives. So here we have to be very, very careful. And I always mention this so that we do not go on to another extreme. What we are talking about here is that if that wife is making an un-Islamic demand and the husband gives in to that and disobeys the mother, then this bala, this musibat will come upon him. The hereafter he will get his saza, he will get his punishment, but in this world also he is going to suffer. And the community also suffers because of such kind of people. But it does not mean that if there are legitimate demands, or if she is asking for her Islamically given right, then at that time to disobey the mother, no matter what people may say, but her curses are not going to have any effect, because la ta'ata li makhluqin fi ma'siyatil khaliq, that when it comes to the obedience of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, when it comes to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's obedience, then you are not going to obey the makhluq, la ta'ata li makhluq, you are not going to be obedient to the creation of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala if it means disobedience to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So here, if Allah ta'ala has given the wives certain rights, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has given wives certain rights, so they will be necessary for this person to fulfill, even though outwardly it may seem that he is trampling upon the rights of the parents. In the same way, if the parents have got certain rights which Shariat has given them, then at that time, if the husband, he obeys the wife and violates the orders of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala with regards to obedience to the parents, then he will suffer the same punishment and the same consequences. So there has to be a balance, that for every husband it is extremely important and necessary that before they enter into that marriage contract, they must go through the list of rights of wives and rights of parents and balance the both. If he is going to balance it, there will be no problem. There will be happiness, there will be unity, there will be caring and sharing, and there will be love, and everything will be very smooth and good. But the moment the person is going to go on to the extreme right or left, then he's going to have a problem. So no doubt the children have to be very, very obedient to the parents, and especially the mothers. But if the mothers are also putting such kind of pressure on the husband, on her son, that it is going to violate the right of the wife, then of course there is no question of obedience there. But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given us guidelines, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has given us guidelines, we should try and operate within that, there will be no problem. So what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is talking about is that the mother has not done any injustice, the mother is not unfair, the mother hasn't put undue pressure upon him to do something that is not Islamically permissible. The mother is not asking him to deprive the wife of her rightful share of his earnings, or to deprive the wife of her rights which Islam has given. Nothing of that sort. The mother is good, she is kind, and she is doing what any mother would do. But this son, he is so deeply in love with this wife that he is not prepared to talk to those parents. He has cut off his relationship with them, and he does not want to see them, he does not want to meet them. So these children of that caliber, or these children who are behaving in this manner, then they must have that yaqeen, they must have no doubt in it, that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is not only going to punish them in the hereafter, but in such ways Allah ta'ala's azab comes in this world, that finally they realize that it is due to disobedience to my mother and father that I am facing this type of consequence. So we have to be very much on our guard. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that the time will come when people are going to obey their wives, that they will be at the beck and call. Whatever the wife says, they are going to obey her. And it is not only when it comes in comparison with the, or confrontation with the rights of the mother. If you have to look at it as a separate thing altogether, then there what it means is that the demands that the wives will make, most of them in the latter times will be un-Islamic. As another hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, that the destruction of the husbands, most of the time, it is going to be because of the wives, that they will put undue pressure upon them to earn and make such demands that they will not be able to provide for them from halal earnings. So then they are going to go towards haram. These women, they are going to insult them, embarrass the husbands with regards to their earnings. So then they will go towards haram, and that haram will then lead to their destruction. Or if we have to look at our weddings and all our functions that take place, no matter how pious the person, but when it comes to the wedding organization, then they say, Molna kya kare, biwi nahi manti. In everything else, they were the bosses. But when it comes to all the dhum-dham and all the extravagance and all the other dhamal that takes place, then they say, biwi nahi manti. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam predicted this 1400 years ago, that when they will become obedient to their wives. And if you have to take the next part with it, then, and they will be disobeying their mothers. وَبَرَّ صَدِيقَهُ وَجَفَى أَبَاهُ. Now look at this. Allah. That when it comes to their friends, they will be very, very good to their friends, very kind to their friends. When the friend comes, you will find a big smile on the person's face, my friend has come. And they will welcome the person, they will entertain him, they will feed him, they will sit with him. But when it comes to the father, then what they will do injustice to the father. They will distance themselves, as another hadith says, that from the fathers they will distance themselves, and they will be very close to their friends. Now of course, there is that wide gap between a father and a friend. And there is a difference in the respect that you would accord to a father and a friend. That with friends you joke, you laugh, and it's a different world altogether. So that is not haram, it's not forbidden. It does not mean that in every meeting of yours with your friends, you must first invite your father to sit there. You must understand these hadiths. It does not mean that. What it means is that in the heart, the person will have no love left for his father. When his father comes, it will be as if his blood is boiling. And I'm not telling you stories here. People have written to me, they have telephoned and told me such things that it shocks me. I think I mentioned it too, that one person writes to me that my father is better dead than alive. Another person says that I just feel like shooting my father. One person says that I poisoned my father's sandwich, and it is with Allah Ta'ala's fazl that I managed to get him out of that just last minute, otherwise that father would have gone to the graveyard. People are, this is what we are referring to, that hatred is building up for the fathers. That is a different story, that why? I have mentioned that many times, that sometimes it is a television program which is triggering that kind of a hatred for the father. And they are admitting that there was no hatred, and suddenly why this hatred came. Young girls have written that we built up hatred for our mothers after watching some program, after watching some television program, hatred built in. They just detest, dislike. They don't want to see their mothers. They want to distance themselves. So we are the cause of that. They give them all that filth, and when they distance themselves from us, then at that time we must sit and complain. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he says that this is what is going to be. When this happens, then you must wait for the azab of Allah ta'ala. The azab of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And if you look at other hadiths, that the azab will come how? Like when the bead of a tasbih breaks. Then after that, if you have to hold the tasbih like that, one, two, three, each one just keeps coming down. Azab will come like that, one after the other, one after the other. The people will not even know that they are now suffering different kinds of azab. When a person has been given chloroform, then at that time all the cutting and slicing and chipping and chopping that the doctor has done, the person doesn't feel any pain. But the moment he comes to his consciousness and the chloroform effect wears out, then he realizes that I was cut here and he's getting the pain here and he's getting the pain there. So like that, the azab comes so much that sometimes we go into a state of unconsciousness, that we don't even realize that it is azab that's hitting us. When there's fights and quarrels and arguments in our families, in our, between brothers and sisters, between family members, nobody even considers this as an azab of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Because we are in that state that we are not even realizing that all this is an azab which is hitting us from different sides. And yet we indulge in that same haram which is bringing that azab upon us. We will sit and complain that my children have distanced themselves from me. We will sit and complain that this azab and this bala and this difficulty and my business is running down and this is happening and that is happening. All kinds of problems are coming upon me and I don't know what is hitting me. But at the end of the day, we will still indulge in that same haram which is bringing all this azab. How many of them, after these type of azabs have come in their family, then they said, well, now we realize, we heard one bayan Maulana said that it is the television programs which is bringing all this kind of bala, so therefore let me get rid of it. The person will still say, no, I can't get rid of it, because how am I going to pass my time? And what am I going to do if I'm not going to watch this particular program which I've been watching over the years? I won't get my sleep. So we are not prepared to make the change. So then afterwards we must not blame anybody else but ourselves. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that this is what it, but he says that this is what is going to happen. The causes of it happening are different. But when it happens, then again you must wait for the azab of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala of different kinds. So he says that وَبَرَّ صَدِيقَهُ وَجَفَى أَبَى. One father, he sent his son to England. Now those days when the person sent his child to England to study, then that son now was somebody, a Mr. Somebody. Yes. If he had a beard, hat and all too in India, but if he went to England to study, if he came back from there, then that was the end of his hat, his beard, and he became a Mr. Somebody. Like somebody once asked one father that your son that you sent to England, he returned after 2 years for a holiday and he's going back. I'm talking about the 30s and 40s at that time. So how much has he finished now of his course? Kitna पढ़ लिया उसने तो फादर से ये तो मालूम नहीं कितना पढ़ा लेकिन मैंने देखा कि वो खड़े-खड़े मूतता है आजकल इससे बिफोर इज टू सिट एंड यूरिनेट नाउ आई सॉ दैट ही स्टैंड्स एंड यूरिनेट सो दिस इज व्हाट आई नो ही हैज क्वालिफाइड सो फार इन इंग्लैंड सो व्हेन दिस चाइल्ड केम बैक सो नाउ ही वाज सो अशेम्ड ऑफ इवन सीइंग हिज फादर कमिंग इनटू हिज प्रोग्राम और इनटू हिज the company of his friends, that when he invited his friends now, he qualified, graduated and invited his friends. So there the father was not invited, because the father was looking like an old person wearing the same pajama and kurta, and here he had all his friends, qualified doctors and professional people. So he didn't invite his father. He was feeling a little embarrassed to invite his father to such a gathering, because the old man is going to come there in this state. So the father came to know that my son has thrown an invitation to his friends, so he happened to come there. Now when the son saw the father coming, so he got a little concerned. So one of the friends asked him that who is that old man now who has walked in? So he said, that's one of my father's friends. He said, he's my father's friend. He was feeling ashamed to even introduce him as his father. So the father, the old man too, was very sharp. When he overheard it, then he said, no, he's making a mistake. I'm not his father's friend, I'm his mother's friend. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that this is what is going to happen, that they will be disobedient, they will not like to be seen with their fathers, they will distance themselves from their fathers, they will be extremely kind and good and gracious to their friends, but with the fathers they are going to be very, very difficult, they are going to treat them as if they are not wanted. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, when this happens, then you must wait for all kinds of bala coming. وَارْتَفَعَتِ الْأَصْوَاتُ فِي الْمَسَاجِدِ, and when voices will be raised loud in the masajid. One is, like now we you laughed a little, there's no problem in there. Or if there is some discussion of deen, or if it is some talk of how are you, how's the family, who's somebody. Now the groom is going to wait for 1,000 people to embrace him, to hug him and to shake his hands. Now those 999 who are waiting in the line, what are they going to do? They are not going to sit quietly and read tasbih. So they are going to start talking. Now the talk is not going to be centered around anything of deen. Somebody is going to talk about business, somebody is going to talk about the samples, the latest ones which have arrived, and somebody is going to talk about this and that, and there's ghibat, and there's such a noise, that it frightens the person that the azab of Allah Ta'ala mustn't come down suddenly. So this is the reason why we have to forego this sunnat of making the nikah in the masjid. Like somebody said, that Maulana, isn't it sunnat to have the nikah in the masjid? He said, yes, it is sunnat to have the nikah in the masjid, but it is haram to raise the voices in the masjid. And when there is haram and sunnat, on the one side is haram and on the other side is sunnat, then you will forego the sunnat and save yourself from haram. And adopt another sunnat, that make nikah anywhere. Because in the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, nikahs took place in the homes, nikahs took place in the bazaar, nikahs took place in the masjid, nikahs took place anywhere. So this is the thing that we have to understand, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, when voices are going to be raised, people are going to raise their voices. And it's not only after nikah. Even after dini programs, many a times it happens. That if there's a big crowd and there's a dini program and the program has ended, then in the masjid area itself, there'll be loud raising of voices will be raised aloud. So at least we who are here now, I've mentioned this many times in my bayans before too, and alhamdulillah many brothers are now practicing on that it is neither farz nor wajib to hug or embrace the groom after the nikah. There are certain things that we have to learn, and we have to train ourselves and discipline ourselves to practice. That musafa and shaking of hands is when you meet any brother, then you shake hands. Allah Ta'ala washes away the sins of the person, it drops off. There are details to it, but you shake hands. You meeting the person after some time, then you embrace him. Now a person is coming with the groom, is coming with him into the masjid. He was talking to him right through. So many people met him before that too. And now when he came and sat down here, and after the nikah, now everybody is again shaking hands and making mu'anika. Now look at Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he was rahmatul lil alameen. So he knew that what problem this is going to create in latter times, when there will be massive crowds. Cars are obstructed after that. People are swearing and cursing. And here this one brother is waiting just to embrace the group. So this is not as farz wajib. Yes, casually if somebody shook hands and carried on. But to queue up and to wait, instead of that, when the groom is coming in before namaz and you see him, then congratulate him already. That I congratulate you on the nikah which is about to take place. That's another way of cutting short that crowding up after the nikah. Brothers, I'm talking to you as a brother. And I want to pass on to you these hints or these teachings of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to make life easy and comfortable for everybody. That there are many ways if you want to overcome it. And that is that, as I said, that as the groom is coming in, they come in before namaz. So whoever has already met him, of course it's not even necessary for everybody to queue up and meet. But if you want to meet and congratulate him, then this is one way, that before the nikah, you congratulate him on the nikah which is to take place. Now already half the crowd has met him and it's over. Of the other half, some of them are not really related, they were just there in the nikah, or they are not even friends. and so they are not going to even wait. So it will make it easier, lesser noise will be in the masjid. But if not, then make it in the sahan area and let them make a noise outside the masjid. So we are raising our voices very, very loudly in the masajid, and this is one of the things which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says is going to bring the azab of Allah ta'ala. Bala will start coming down of different kinds. وَشُرِبَتْ وَكَانَ زَعِيمُ الْقَوْمِ أَرْزَلَهُمْ. That the leaders of the community, those people are going to be appointed who are the most wretched, or the people who have got no character, no morals, no behavior, absolutely no discipline. They haven't got akhlaq, they haven't got anything of deen in them, but they will be appointed to high positions to lead communities, whether it is for parliament, or whether it is for the cabinet, or whether it is for the masajid, or whether it is for the madaris. A time will come when people of low morals and bad character, they will be given positions of honor. How true this hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Take the parliaments of the world, and 90% of them, who are they? Take the presidents of the world, immoral, highly immoral, and they are appointed to the highest position. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam predicted this, because in his time there was no question. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's time, there was absolutely no question of a person being appointed to a position of honor and trust, or given a position of Amirul Mu'mineen, or commander of an army, or to lead a delegation of Muslims, if he had weak character, or if he had no morals or no behavior. The munafiqeen, were they ever appointed? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's appointment was always of the best that was available. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that this time will come, that those people of low morals, film actors in India, we've noticed, that just because he was a film actor and he has got thousands of fans or hundreds of thousands of fans, so the party says that if you become our candidate, then we know that we enjoy every chance of success, victory, if you become our candidate. In Italy, dancers, singers, and all kinds of filthy women, they were appointed as candidates, and they drew the biggest crowds. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam predicted all these things, that it is going to, when this happens, he said, then you must wait for the bala, you must wait for all kinds of azab coming. وَكَانَ زَعِيمُ الْقَوْمِ أَرْزَلَهُمْ وَأُكْرِمَ الرَّجُلُ مَخَافَةَ شَرِّهِ. I will stop there for today. And a person is going to be respected not because of his character, not because he is a pious person, not because he is a charitable person, a generous person, a kind person, a person of taqwa, a person of piety. The person's respect will be solely because you fear the person's mischief. That due to the person's mischief which you fear, then you will respect. If you look at so many areas, why do they respect the mafias? You think that respect is from the heart? When that person comes, they shake hands, they put garland around his neck and everything, for what? Because they fear the mischief of that person. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that when this happens, that the person is not being respected anymore for the any good qualities that he has, but the respect is solely because you are fearing mischief from this person. You will stand up and shake hands and respect him and honor him, and it's permissible to save yourself from mischief of that person, to do such a thing. But that is what is going to happen, and it has become so common. You say that this person, he must not trample on his toes, because if you trample on his toes, the bir khair nahi hai. So now the person is outwardly respected, and that person believes that, you know, I am being respected, I am being given honor. And yet after some time, if the conditions change, then the same people are going to sway. In elections we saw in India, Maulana knows, that 1 minute when that person is with a certain party, then they will say, Zindabad, Zindabad, Zindabad. And they will garland him with flowers. And after some time, then they will say, Murdabad, Murdabad. And you will find a garland of shoes around his neck. So this is what we are talking about, that there is no such thing as morality, there is no such thing as decency, there is no such thing as any kind of morals left. These people are going to be just being respected because of the fear that you have, that if this man gets into power today and he goes into a top position, then he is going to give us a lot of hassles and a lot of trouble. So therefore let us play into his good books. That is why they are respecting him. How many places this is what happens? that when you are expecting a certain person to get into a certain position, then you will find everybody suddenly becoming his friend, everybody suddenly giving him votes, and everybody suddenly praising him and singing in his honor. Why? Because they know that if this person becomes Minister of Finance, or if he's going to become Minister of Defense, or if he's going to become Prime Minister or Minister or President, then he is going to wipe us out. In some countries that happens, that if the Muslims did not give vote to a certain person, then if that party came into power, or Indians did not give vote and that party came into power, so then they deprive those, that section of the population, of even their rightful share of that government. So for out of fear of the mischief, the respect will take place. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that when these type of things happen, then you must await bala coming, await all kinds of musibat, difficulties, hardships, problems. And in the same hadith later on, as we will discuss inshallah next week, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says what kind of bala you must wait for. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam predicted these things so that we may save ourselves from it. We must not say that yes, we are in latter times and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam predicted it, so therefore it is happening and we can't blame anybody for that. We cannot take the blame for it, because Allah Ta'ala must fulfill whatever Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam predicted. Now that is a foolish way of looking at it. If somebody says that on this road that's going this way, there's a huge lion there, and if you go that way, then the lion is going to eat you up because there's a loose lion there, or there's a huge snake there. So now the person walks on that road, and when the lion eats him up, devours him, or when that snake bites him, now this person, if of course he hasn't been eaten up by the lion, so then he says, well look, it had to happen because that person told me that if you go this way, then this is what will happen. What will we call that person? We will say, so foolish and so stupid, that when he was informed that if you go this way, then the lion is going to devour you, there's a loose lion there. Or if you go this way, there's a huge snake that's going to bite you. Or if you put your finger into the fire, it's going to burn you. So then what it meant is that now you must stay away from there, that you don't go anywhere near it. So when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that when these things will happen, then this will be the consequence. So then what it means is that stay far away from it. Don't disrespect your parents. Don't take anything which is belonging to trust illegally. And all the other things that have been mentioned, don't do those things. Stay far away. Then the result will be that you'll get a lot of rahmat of Allah, you'll get blessings of Allah Ta'ala. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq to make amal. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammadin mubarak wa sallim. Allahumma inna nas'aluka min khayri ma sa'alaka minhu nabiyyuka wa habibuka sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa na'udhu bika min sharri ma sta'aza minhu nabiyyuka wa habibuka sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.